I'm asking the Lord for some direction here for the morning message here today. And just in my devotions here this week, this was part of my reading. And I may have spoken from it in the past. I want to touch on this individual one more time here in 2 Chronicles chapter 27. Reading of the life, one little chapter. Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did not, and the people did yet corruptly. He built the high gate of the house of the Lord, and on the wall of Ophel he built much. Moreover, he built cities in the mountains of Judah, and in the forest he built castles and towers. He fought also with the king of the Ammonites and prevailed against them. And the children of Ammon gave him the same year 100 talents of silver and 10,000 measures of wheat and 10,000 of barley. So much did the children of Ammon pay unto him both the second year and the third. So Dothan became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham and all his wars and his ways, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And Jotham slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Ahaz, his son, reigned in his stead. Our Heavenly Father, again, we want to thank you for this day, Father's Day, a day to remember your grace to us of giving us fathers and men, good men and godly men, a history of men that have stood for something, even in this particular month, as so many remember D-Day from all those many years ago, and referring to them as the greatest generation. We want to thank you for such caliber of men. And then as we are about to approach the 250th anniversary of our own nation, we think of the men and women who bravely stood and were tested and suffered so much to bring about the freedoms that we have in our land. Oh God, help us to be a grateful people today. But the greatest blessing that you've given to us is that the Lord Jesus has brought us to the revelation to know you as our Father. Thank you for the great salvation you've done to us that has put in our hearts where we cry to you, Abba, Father. So bless the scriptures here today. Something in this study of Jotham, his father, his son, these men, God teach us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. So doing a little bit of research here on the kings of Judah, because you remember, after Solomon, his son Rehoboam, caused the division of the peoples so that 10 tribes to the north followed Jeroboam and only the 2 tribes in the south, Benjamin and Judah, stayed with Rehoboam, Solomon's son. So from David to this man that we read, Jotham. Jotham is the 12th king, 12th son that became king over Judah. And the line of the kings of Judah to the south and of Israel. Israel did not have, the 10 tribes never had a godly king. Not one. Looking at the kings that fell between David and Jotham, these, a little less than half of them were good. And even some of the kings that came, and certainly the kings that would follow, most of them would be bad. But Jotham here, from what we have read, he falls in the category of one of those kings that was good. At least that's what Graham Scroggie, in his assessment of all of these different kings. But we'll see here as we look at Jotham, there are some good things about him, and there are clearly some bad things about him as well. So Jotham, as we've said, he's the 12th grandson. He is the son of Uzziah. Now you remember what Uzziah did. Uzziah, his father, God blessed Uzziah. He started out good, and then he made a very tragic decision. Uzziah decided he would step into the role of a priest. And that cost him. So thinking back over these men, these different kings, some of them were godly men, as we've pointed out, some were not. Some were unstable, some were inconsistent, and those consequences were then what would have an impact on Judah as time went by. But the scriptures are always right in however they present these different individuals. Thinking of Jotham here this morning, again, let's just look at verse 1 and the first part of verse 2, because here we see Jotham's preparation. When the scripture says Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, his mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Uzziah did. So that tells us two things. Tells us, first of all, there was something good and godly about Uzziah, his father. We'll look at here in just what Uzziah did wrong in just a moment. But it gives us a picture. All of us are the result, you and I know, of all those influences, particularly of our moms and our dads and our aunts, uncles, cousins, that circle that had such an impact on us. So in those formative years, mom and dad are, they're the ones laying the foundation of how you think. You have your own, we all have our own personalities. Then to sift through all of that instruction that we're getting from parents and grandparents, we eventually, who we are, the character that we're born with begins to show itself. And then it's developed or it's rejected. We either accept all of that positive instruction or we kick against it. It would seem that Jotham had received something very beneficial from Uzziah. So having considered that, turn back to chapter 26 and let's pick up some of the story here so we understand what it was that shaped Jotham. 2 Chronicles 26 reads, verse 1, "And then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father, Amaziah. And he built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his father. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper." So if we're thinking about Jotham, and that's who we are thinking about here this morning, we immediately see the impact of a godly father of Uzziah. Our scripture is giving a very glowing report up to this point. A 16-year-old becoming king, that required a good deal of maturity, wouldn't you say? And considering what we have just read, it appears that even at the age of 16, he had been positioned very well by his father, because in both instances, God is giving a glowing report. He did, verse 4, "He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah did." So, you and I know that we are, again, we are the result of so many that have had a positive impact on us. And you also know you have some friends, or you have some people that you grew up with whose family circle was not like yours. The parents may have divorced at a young age. The kids may have, out of resentment to their parents, out of not having that nuclear structure that was so important for children to grow up in and develop right attitudes and right actions and make right choices. And so, come to find out who you grew up with, well, their grandparents divorced. And their parents before them divorced. And so a cycle starts. And in the ministry, I've seen that time and again. Sometimes families say they start out, they're doing very well, but one of their children just decides to go a different route. And then their poor decisions, they make a poor choice. Sharon and I were in a store, and she had gone in to the fitting room to try something on. And here is a woman, and she's talking to another elderly woman, and she's telling her all of the sad story of her daughter. They had moved here from Michigan, I think. I'm just standing waiting on my wife to come. I'm being subjected to this woman's life story, but you can't not hear it. And they moved here from Michigan, and their daughter got up with a fella from the area. And he was terrible. She ended up marrying him. Now the son-in-law has done everything he can to hurt the family, hurt this woman. And so I'm just, of course, I volunteered nothing. I said nothing. It wasn't any of my business. I'm just listening. I'm listening to a sad, sad story of a daughter. Obviously, this woman had done everything he could not to encourage this with this fellow. Apparently, they saw something in him. But the decision was made. And now children are there, and a cycle has started. Where will it end? What will those children, what choices will those children now make? In a home, if this couple even stays together, where there's animosity between the couple and in-laws, and we have these things going on. I have this going on in my own family. You hate to see these cycles. You long to see these cycles broken. And that is where the Lord Jesus Christ comes into the life. We're looking at what shaped Jotham. For the language that we read there in chapter 27, Jotham's preparation, when he would eventually become the king, he had much to observe of his father. Beginning at verse 6 through verse 15, you can read here in chapter 26, you can read of the exploits of Uzziah. And Uzziah did much that was good. In fact, the Bible tells us that in verse 15, look at verse 15 of chapter 26. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread, talking about Uzziah, his father, Jotham's father, and his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. By the way, I did in my study here, the Romans used the same thing, we would call it a catapult. They called it a ballista that could hurl a 300-pound stone or 300 pounds worth of stones a quarter of a mile. So it was quite an invention that he had come up with. One of the historians believed that he had actually gotten the idea from the Syrians, but who knows? We'll just take the scriptures for what it says. But the point of it that we make of here is that Uzziah starts out very well. He's following in the instruction that his father had given to him. He's got a good start. He's marvelously helped, the Bible tells us here, which simply means that these that heard of this invention, they were amazed at the engineering, I guess is what we would describe this. They were amazed at the engineering that had gone into this. And he had gained from that great respect and fear from the surrounding peoples. However, the next thing we read is in verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Isn't that a terrible phrase? When he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. One commentary that I read made the statement that strong Christians are in a very dangerous place. I believe that to be true. I believe it to be true on two parts. First of all, being a strong, godly, Bible-believing, Bible-living Christian, you certainly have an enemy who puts a target on your back to do everything that he can to destroy you. And thinking of David, that is exactly what happened to him. He became strong to his own trouble. This happened to Uzziah. His heart was lifted up to his destruction. So what did Uzziah do? Well, we know. He got it in his head. The verse tells us what happened. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Of course, the priests and the Levites confronted him. He was king. He was not a priest, and he was not to be doing that. But he insisted on doing it. And you remember, in his forehead, suddenly God smote him with leprosy. And they drove him out. And from that day till he died, he was a leper. So Uzziah starts out right. I want to believe that Uzziah finished right, even though in this moment he did the very same thing that Cain had done long before. And that was to believe that he could come before God on his own terms, without sacrifice, without blood. Nothing in verse 16 tells us that he had brought a sacrifice. Everything in verse 16 tells us that he had intruded into the responsibilities, exclusively those of the priests. And so, like Cain, he attempted to worship God without a Savior, without a high priest. Now remember, all of this is part of Jotham's preparation. So come back with me now here to the next chapter, where we're looking at Jotham in chapter 27. And in verse 2, we pick up the second half of the verse. The second half of the verse begins, "Howbeit he entered not into the temple of the Lord." Did you find that an interesting statement? And we of course not taking the time to read the rest of chapter 26, but when Uzziah became a leper, after having achieved so much in his life and intruding into the responsibility of the priests, Jotham began to judge the people. Look at the last few verses, though, of look at verse 21 of chapter 26. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, meaning separated house, being a leper. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. So even though Uzziah started out right, he is stricken with the leprosy. He would not be able to judge the people. The people could not come before him, but he had a son. And he had a son that even though he was not duly the king at that moment, he was functioning as the king prior to his father's death and him actually taking the throne himself. All of this was part of Jotham's preparation in this responsibility. But now we see Jotham's apprehension. And that's what we've read here in verse 2. Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. So there was an impact of Uzziah's disobedience, not only on the people that did corruptly, but there was also an impact on Jotham. If we understand what this verse means, and I think we have to, that from that point on, Jotham himself did not go into the house of the Lord. He judged Israel. He judged the people prior to his father's death. He took the position of the king, but he did not enter into the temple. Your guess is as good as mine as to why he would not do that. It would seem, I don't think he was bitter at God judging his father. I don't think it was bitterness that kept him out. Otherwise, he couldn't be described as he is described in the rest of the chapter of how God prospered him. And in verse 6, where it says, Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. So here is Jotham now operating, I think, with fear. I think that the impact of what his father had done had caused him to step back. Did he feel that he was not suited to go there? Did he feel that whatever contact he had with his father, who had been a leper by judgment, did he feel that he was not qualified, unclean himself? I don't know. But he withdrew apparently from the temple services. Uzziah had intruded into the temple. Jotham seems to be standing. He'll stand at a distance. He still believes in the Lord, and he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. But there was something about that had impacted him that he would not go to the temple. How would that turn out? Well, we'll not take the time to read the next chapter, chapter 28, but his son Ahaz would close the temple. So Uzziah intruded into the temple, Jotham won't go into the temple. And now his son will actually close the temple. There's an impact on lives, isn't there? Doing what's right, standing for what's right. So Uzziah has a grandson. His grandson will become king, and Ahaz will shut it up. But aren't you glad? Even when you mess up, God has a way of turning things around. Because even though Ahaz, the son of Jotham, closes the temple, creates all kinds of wickedness, burns his children alive in sacrifice to Balaam, his son Hezekiah will open up the temple and reintroduce the Passover and see that the prophets, see that the priests are sanctified and set apart. So, we have Jotham's preparation, we have Jotham's apprehension, but then we also have Jotham's determination. Let's pick it up and read here in verse 3. The Bible tells us of Jotham, he built the high gate of the house of the Lord. Now, if he's willing to do that, why won't you go ahead and go into the house? Why won't you go into the temple? It must be that he had such a fear and an apprehension of God, but not so much that he couldn't build the high gate of the house of the Lord. Not only that, the scripture goes on to say, and in the wall of Ophel, he built much. We're not told what that means. Don't know how that worked out. And you can go back and see this same portion in the book of 2 Kings about this same. It doesn't give you any more details. But he built much. He was paralyzed in one area, but he was powerful in another. Does that sound like you? Sometimes as believers, we can get paralyzed in one area while at the same time we have strengths in another area. Well, of course, the Lord's always going to work on our area that we find ourselves to be weak in, won't we? He will be faithful in that. So we see here that he built the high gate. He built much on this wall. Verse 4 says, moreover, he built cities in the mountains of Judah. And in the forest, he built castles and towers. All of this is speaking to both strength and stability. Everything that Jotham is doing, he's doing to encourage the nation, build the nation, strengthen the nation, and it appears to even strengthen his own position as a king. And all of it is flowing out of this one verse we have in verse 6. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. He's a warrior. Verse 5 reads, he fought also with the king of the Ammonites and prevailed against them. And the children of Ammon gave him the same year 100 talents of silver and 10,000 talents of wheat and of barley. So much year to year. Second year and the third year. So we can't look at Jotham as being a weak man, except in this one area. He did not go into the house of the Lord. Though he built the gate, though he built on the wall, though he warred a good warfare, everything that we're seeing in Jotham, except for this one area, somehow this had in some way impacted his worship. He could not go into the house of the Lord. Even though he prepared his ways. And it's the understanding here of the terminology here. When it says that he became mighty, it's to fasten, to seize is what the word means. So when the scripture says that Jotham became mighty, he seized the opportunities that God had given to him. And he did so because he had prepared his ways before the Lord. The word prepared is not in the Hebrew. It's the emphasis here in the Hebrew is on the word ways. Ways. And in other places, it's referred to as a road. In the context here, it would mean Jotham prepared his course of life. And he did so, as the scripture tells us here, before the Lord is God. All of this is good. All of this is encouraging. So, there are the areas of power in Jotham's life. And then there's an area of weakness. So, all of that here this morning to just encourage you that the men that God has put into your life will take the good men that God's put into your life. They are still going to be just men. And all of us have the places and the areas where we are strong and we are committed and we seize the day and we purpose to walk with God and we set the course of our life, the roadway of our life, to follow the Lord. We're not looking to ourselves. And I'm just thinking about this man in all the ways in which God was preparing him to eventually become the king. The influence and impact of the first part of his father's life, which was great, and it was glorious. And he made a name for himself. And his influence influenced nations that surrounded them. But he made that one very terrible mistake. And that very terrible mistake impacted the influence of his life, but not totally. I want to encourage you, you and I that make so many mistakes, would it be okay if you could say, I only made one mistake in my life? It was a big one though. And that big mistake did have an impact. And it would have a second generation impact on Ahaz. But hallelujah, God broke that in Hezekiah, who opened up the doors again of the temple and had the priests go in. He didn't go in to do it. He didn't lend his hand to it. He was not going to do what his great-grandfather had done. He was not going to intrude there, but he told the priest, he said, you fellas need to get yourselves clean, and then you need to go in and you need to clean the house of the Lord, which is exactly what they did, and they did it in 8 days. But our consideration here is Jotham today. He's a warrior. He's a victor. He's received much wealth and has gone from year to year. He has been mighty. He has seized his life. He has set the course of his life in the direction that God would have him to go. And all of that is coming back to what God had done in previous generations and by his father Uzziah. The year after Brother Bob Doom died, the 1 year anniversary, I wrote to all of the kids, all of his children. And I just reminded them of the godly character that their father had displayed, their father and their mother. And I said, for whatever else you saw in your dad, you wished he'd have been something different, made different decisions here or there, look at all the positive impact that he left behind. Don't judge him on the few things that he wasn't what you wanted him to be. So again, I just encourage you. We as men, we know that we're just fallen men. As fathers, we did both good and not so good. Or we did good, but we should have done more good. But we still leave into the Lord's hands to take and shape and direct and care and show his grace where we didn't measure up. While at the same time, we thank the Lord for the course that we set for our lives. And others have been able to look at and see the positive, but they've also seen the negative. But they can rejoice at the mercy of God that's been on display in fallen sinners. And recognize that there was one son, though, that came into this world, and his delight was to do the Father's will. Whatever my failings have been, I have always pointed my children, keep your eyes on the Savior. Because the Lord Jesus Christ set the course of his life, and he followed all that the Father gave him to do. And the Father at the last said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. We're grateful for the Lord Jesus Christ because in all of our failings, he did not fail the Father, and he has now been honored to be our only hope and our only Savior. And where we make our mistakes, where we sin, where we disobey, where we're not consistent, Jesus Christ was always consistent. And he stands now as our Savior and our great High Priest. He is the perfect Son. And by his perfect sacrifice, God has determined to make you and I perfect sons and daughters. And in his eyes, you are already there. You're already there. I could only shape my children so far. They've had to make decisions. Some of the decisions that they've made, they could have made better. The father could look at me and say, that's the same with my son. I could have made better. I could have made better decisions. But where I was powerless to absolutely make certain that my children finish the course perfectly, I'm powerless to do that. But my father, he is powerful to accomplish that. And he will complete the task in my life. He will bring me to the place of the perfect son. He'll bring you to the place of perfect daughters before himself. And so that great scripture out of Philippians in chapter 1 and verse 6 reads, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We can learn from these. We see the lessons of these men, not only Jotham, but Uzziah, his father Amaziah before him, the son Ahaz that followed, Hezekiah that followed him. And we can thank God for the mercies he's shown us. He is the only Savior of sinners. And he's the only one who can transform your life and cause that, as he said, as is said here of Jotham, that he prepared his ways before the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Old Testament scriptures. I thank you for the New Testament promises. I thank you that you have told us that what you have started in us, you will complete. And that you already see us as seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I thank you that all the display of power and of mercy, and of grace, and of kindness. Oh God, forgive us and deliver us from any Uzziah moments. Help us not to be as Ahaz, who would shut you out entirely. And oh God, restore and revive us as in Hezekiah's day. So we ask for mercy. I thank you again, Lord Jesus, for being the perfect son and could stand before accusing men and challenge them as to which of them could accuse him of any sin. Nothing could be found. Lord Jesus, I thank you for taking my place and bearing my sins. Help me to still be the father and grandfather I need to be to my children as long as I'm alive. Help us as men to stand for things that are right and good and holy and just, and to be to the generation that is and to the generation that's yet to come, leave behind something that brings honor and glory and points the next generation to their only hope and the only way that they can be satisfied and content in life, and that is to set their ways to follow the Lord. Thank you for such a Savior as the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary's cross, bore our sins, was buried and rose again the third day for this glorious substitution of his life for ours. how we praise you and thank you. Bless us in this day, and for your mercies we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the only song that comes to mind for us to close with here this morning is Amazing Grace. So if you'll take your hymnals and you can turn with me to hymn number 202. Hymn number 202. You can join me standing. We'll sing all five of the verses of Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be. As long as life endures, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. All of grace, all of grace.